Hey, good morning. Mike Todd. Good to see you all. Good to be with you. My name is Brian Thomas. I'm the RUF pastor at the University of Florida. RUF is the campus ministry, just in case you've never heard of RUF. It's the college ministry of this denomination. Started back in the 70s, and it's probably on 170 campuses now, maybe. Goes from Vermont all the way to Hawaii, and then even globally, there's RUFs. Basically, RUF started college ministries in Bogota, Colombia, and Mexico City, and I mean, it was campus ministry on international campuses. And so, anyway, I became a Christian as a college student, and so college ministry is very important to me, and I feel privileged to get to do what I do. And so anyway, and it's good to be with you guys. Love the local church. Glad I could help out, fill in while Keith's out of town. Today we're going to be in Acts chapter 10. So if you got Bibles and you want to go turn there, Acts chapter 10, I'm sure the passage is going to be behind me in a second. Acts chapter 10, verses 23 to 43. I'll give you a second to get there. I'm also married to Jessica. We've been married 11 years, and we have two kids. Noah is 7, Evelyn is 6. And we have a dog, Ruby. I don't know how old she is. She's a rescue dog. I think she may be 3. You can have her. I'll bring her to you. You can have her forever. I'll even bring all her stuff. Anyway, no, she is sweet. She does like to, you know, she does like to chew up the TV remote from time to time and, you know, a few other high maintenance things. But we love her. We're glad to have her. All right, so Acts chapter 10, we're going to be thinking about and reflecting on just God's mission. We can't say everything about it. There's tons of stuff that you would love to talk about or hear about. We probably won't cover everything, but I at least wanted to get us thinking about God's mission in a little bit. You could sum up, let's say some of you may be new to the Bible, like you really could sum up, one way to sum up the whole Bible is it's about God's mission. God's mission to rescue people, God's mission to restore all things. And we, the church, together and individuals, we, if we consider ourselves Christian, like we are called to participate in that mission. It's a privilege to participate in that mission. The only reason I'm a Christian is because someone participated in God's mission when I was a sophomore in North Alabama. So, that's my trailer. Hope that was good. I wish I had a good trailer voice to go along with it. All right, Acts chapter 10, verse 23. I'm just going to read a section and then pause and pray, and then I'll read more later. All right, Acts 10, verse 23. The next day he rose and went away with them, and some of the brothers from Joppa accompanied him. And on the following day they entered Caesarea. Cornelius was expecting them, and had called together his relatives and close friends. When Peter entered, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter lifted him up, saying, "Stand up, I too am a man." And as he talked with them, he went in and found many persons gathered. And he said to them, "You yourselves know how unlawful it is for a Jew to associate with or to visit anyone of another nation. But God has shown me that I should not call any person common or unclean. So when I was sent for, I came without objection. I asked then, 'Why you sent for me?' And Cornelius said, 4 days ago, about this hour, I was praying in my house at the ninth hour, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, 'Cornelius, your prayer has been heard, and your alms have been remembered before God. Send, therefore, to Joppa, and ask for Simon, who is called Peter. He is lodging in the house of Simon, a tanner by the sea. So I sent for you at once, and you have been kind enough to come. Now, therefore, we are all here in the presence of God to hear all that you have been commanded by the Lord.'" Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the scripture, the Bible. Thank you for inspiring it. And we know that you work in and through it now, and we pray that's what you would do. Even Peter, at some point, when asked if he would abandon you, said, "Where would I go? For you have the words of life." Jesus, you do have the words of life, and I pray that we would see that, and that today your Spirit would encourage, equip, challenge, convict, whatever it needs to do. I pray that you would work. Be our guide, be our teacher. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. I grew up in a little small town in northeast Alabama called Stevenson. You've never been there. You'd have to go there on purpose. And so anyway, if any of you have, though, I want to meet you, because I would be amazed. It would be awesome. So Stevenson, Alabama. Well, if you grow up in Alabama, there's an interstate, I-65. Interstate 65. It's the longest interstate in the state of Alabama, the longest segment of interstate. And so 367 miles covering the state of Alabama. And so growing up in Alabama, at some point you're going to end up on I-65. It's just going to happen. It's like 75 in Florida. You're just going to get on that thing at some point. And so anyway, if you've ever traveled the interstate, I-65, north, and you get past Montgomery, Alabama, just north of Montgomery, Alabama, there's a town called Prattville. Prattville, Alabama. Prattville is historically known as a 6A high school football powerhouse. It has nothing to do with this story, but I just thought you should know that. And so you get to Prattville, and at some point you are just taking in how beautiful South Alabama is, you know. And then you see this field, you see a lake, and then you'll notice this is right on the interstate. You cannot miss it. This huge water wheel, and it's just turning. I mean, it's picturesque. It's beautiful. And you're like, wow. And then, while you're taking that in, you will see this sign. It is a famous sign right next to that water wheel. And it's a picture of a huge red devil. Huge red devil. Not friendly red devil, okay? It's like creepy. My kids are like, ah, every time I see it. And the devil is holding like this kind of big piece of farm equipment. It looks like this killer blade. You know, something you would need in like the zombie apocalypse or something. And so you see the sign, and here's what it says. This is what it says next to the red devil. It says, "Go to church or the devil will get you." That's Alabama, man. I'm like, come on, my home state, just doing it right. And when I say this sign is famous, there are YouTube videos about the sign. There are YouTube videos, true story. There's a Facebook page for this sign. You can like it. You can follow the page. I don't know why, but you can. You can get merchandise with a picture of this sign. Shirts. You could go order a t-shirt. I don't know why, but you can. And it's really amazing. Like, and it's funny to laugh about, especially being from Alabama. I can make fun of my own state and ridiculous things we do. The sign is, we all know the sign is a mess. Like, it's just, so many things wrong with what it says. But here's the point. That sign, and this is what I think about when I see that sign, and what it reminds me of, is that Christians, we are often a barrier to God's mission. We can be. I can be. We are often a barrier to God's mission. Like, and when we think about God's mission, the mission to rescue people and restore all things, we often think of barriers to that as out there. It's those things out there. It's that person. It's that group. It's that activist. We rarely, though, think of what's inside of us, my own heart, my own thoughts, my prejudices, my sins. And how that can be blinding, how that can be a barrier to God's mission. The barrier to God's mission is never us. It's always them, right? And that's just easy for us to do that. But what we'll see in this passage is like, no, actually, because Peter was. I mean, Peter had a lot to learn. You know, one of Jesus' closest disciples, a leader of the church, right? He had a lot to learn about God's mission. Because we often can be, I think, a barrier to God's mission, his mission to rescue and to restore humanity. And so here's what I want us to do. Just think about a couple things. One, what is the barrier to God's mission in this passage? Like, I just want us to explore that a little bit. And you can kind of reflect on your own. All right, so Peter has been following Jesus. He's like the central figure in the beginning of the church. And what we see in Acts 10 is like he still has room to grow. Anybody relate to that? Like, he still has room to grow. Even though he loves Jesus, he still has not worked out all the implications of Jesus' saving work. And so, Cornelius, the other guy we read about, Cornelius was guided. I want y'all to think about this. He was guided by God to meet Peter through an angel. And Peter, just a chapter or two before this, in chapter 10, just before this, Peter, while praying, has a vision. And the whole point of that vision was to prepare Peter to meet Cornelius. And so you're like, man, that's strange. Like, why did Peter have to be prepared to meet someone? Right? Why did Peter have to be prepared to meet Cornelius? And so here's a couple things to answer that question real quick, because it's an important part of this chapter. Cornelius was a Roman officer. So think, when Peter sees a Roman officer, when he sees Cornelius, I want you to think about the kind of stuff that's going to go through his mind. He's going to see the same type of people, persons, who beat and killed his best friend, Jesus, right? Like, he's going to have flashbacks to that trauma. Okay, so that's one thing. The other thing about Cornelius was he was a Gentile. He was not Jewish, right? And so, which meant to Peter, he's spiritually unclean. The kind of guy you just don't want to hang out with if you're Jewish, if you're Peter. And so this verse 23, this story picks up with Cornelius and Peter coming together. Not only that, like, Peter finds himself in Cornelius' house. Okay? Now here's, I want y'all to think about this. Here's Peter in a room with all of the people and things he has spent his lifetime avoiding. Crazy. He's surrounded by it. You know? And you see the gravity of the situation. I mean, just look back at verse 28. It's interesting because Peter goes, you yourselves know how unlawful it is for a Jew to associate with or to visit anyone of another nation. I mean, you could say, I think it's safe to say, Peter's a little uncomfortable, you know, completely uncomfortable and anxious. Another important question to think about as we look at this passage is, why was it so important for these guys to meet? All right, they had to be prepared to meet each other, but why so important? I mean, God sends one guy an angel, and another guy has a vision to make sure they come together. That's interesting. And I think the short answer to that question is this. Cornelius did not know Jesus. He just didn't. And up until this point, Peter did not quite understand how Jesus is really for the whole world. Jesus is, and the gospel is for everyone without distinction. And so basically in this passage, Peter is realizing and seeing, man, that God's mission is actually for those I avoid. The people I've spent my whole lifetime avoiding, the gospel's for them, not just me and people like me. You know, and not only that, that I, Peter's realizing, like, I could be a barrier to God's mission, to God reaching those people. And we do this stuff too. I mean, we can relate to Peter. We get it. Like, we do the same kind of things he does. Like, we categorize people. We put people in camps and tribes and categories. And those categories create barriers and distance. Let me think about it. Simple ways we do it. Race. You know, black, white, Asian, Hispanic. We can keep going. Homeschool, public school, private school. The way people talk, the way people dress, accents, you know. If they're from a small town or a large city, are they urban? Are they suburban? Are they country, like my family in Alabama? You know, or are they hipster? And measure the weight of their coffee. You know what I'm saying? You know, like, we categorize people. Hipsters make the best coffee. So I'm not. Hey, they can keep measuring it. Right? Like, we categorize people. Like, we just do that. We do it. My college students do it. You know? Community college, big public school. Private school, honors college, barely got in. I mean, we just do this stuff. Like, we just categorize people. And it's interesting because a lot of times we categorize them in such a way, we don't even know we're doing it, but we are essentially saying they are clean or they're unclean. Like, they're spiritually okay or they're spiritually not okay. They're approachable, they're not approachable. I mean, we do these things. It was so important for these guys to meet, to show Peter and the church that there are no categories in God's kingdom. There are no distinctions. Like, God's kingdom, his mission is for everyone. Those people we avoid. Jesus is relentless in pursuing them. He just is. And so that gets us thinking about the barrier to God's mission. It's not just out there. It's often in here, inside me. I want us to think briefly just about the key. Okay, that's the barrier. Well, then what is the key to God's mission? Okay, so as we think about the key to God's mission, Peter is in a room surrounded by things he spent his lifetime avoiding, and for him to just step into God's mission to reach Cornelius and all his friends and family and neighbors, it meant he was going to have to die to some stuff. Trust me, I guarantee you at one point Peter was probably looking for an exit. You know, we've all been there. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if he's thinking, okay, I got about 5 more minutes, and I got to get out of here. Maybe. But he had to die to all sorts of things. Self-righteousness. He had to die to cultural norms of the day. He had to die to, you know, his comforts. I love comfort. He had to rearrange his schedule. He had to lay aside pride. You know, I mean, he even had to learn new language of how, you know, how to communicate with these people. Think about those things. We could go on and on and on. He had to die to so much stuff for God's mission to continue moving forward. He just did. But Peter was able to do it. And we'll see in a second as we continue reading. He was able to do it because Jesus had changed Peter. Like, the gospel had changed Peter. And when I say gospel, just in case some of you are new to the church, like, just a quick kind of summary of what that means. The gospel, the good news, that God has fulfilled his promise to send a Savior to rescue broken people and to restore all things, right? That's the good news. And all that in and through Jesus. Okay, so this gospel changed Peter. The gospel is the key to God's mission. That's what's going to change us. That's what's going to compel us. That's what's going to move us into those situations. And so let's hear the gospel from the mouth of Peter. We're going to pick up in verse 34. And I love this because right at the end of verse 33, you know, Cornelius says, now we are here. We are all here in the presence of God to hear all that you have been commanded by the Lord. So Peter, verse 34, So Peter opened his mouth and said, truly I understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. As for the word that he sent to Israel, preaching good news of peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. You yourself know what happened throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee after the baptism that John proclaimed, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all that he did, both in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree. But God raised him on the third day and made him to appear, not to all the people, but to us who had been chosen by God as witnesses, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the appointed, the one appointed by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. To him, all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Now, I could stop right there and say, go in peace. Peter just did it for me. Like, the gospel doesn't get any more clear than that. I mean, it really is amazing. And Peter's presentation that we just read really has a few implications for us, I think, that are important. One, the gospel is to be communicated, right? The message of Jesus is to be communicated. An important part of God's mission is Christians opening their mouth and telling people about Jesus. Now, I want you to make friends with your neighbors. I want you to invite them to small groups. I want you to, you know, play cornhole. I want you to, you know, serve. I want you to do all these things. Invite them to small group. Invite people to church. Those things, yes, that ought to be authentic. Build relationships. Make friends. But at the end of the day, God's mission involves us saying something, sharing our stories of Jesus, right? Like saying something. And when we communicate the gospel, the message of Jesus, it's to be filled with truth and grace. You see that with Peter. Peter didn't shy away from telling people the truth, but he also didn't leave out grace, the grace of God. That's what's so amazing about the gospel to begin with. You know, in fact, God's grace, and when I say God's grace, I mean unmerited favor. I mean God's love for you no matter what and how messed up you are. That you can't earn salvation, but Jesus earned it for you. That kind of stuff, right? Grace. That's the last thing you see Peter say. That's the last thing you see in his gospel presentation. I mean, what's he saying? Verse 43. Everyone who believes in him, believes. Not everyone who performs. Not everyone who prays. Not everyone who does a lot of stuff. No. Everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Forgiveness of sins. Like you get something you don't deserve. That's grace. I got something I did not deserve my sophomore year of college when I became a Christian. And grace changed my life. Right? So the gospel is to be communicated, but the gospel also has content. And I love that. Like verse 43 gives us like this really good summary of that content. Like Peter didn't say Jesus is your bro or like Jesus wants to hang out with you. No. Like he says Jesus is Lord of all. Believe in him for the forgiveness of sins. Right? Like even though Peter spoke to various groups, like if you go look through the whole book of Acts, it's amazing because Peter would do these gospel presentations multiple times. I think 6 to 8 times. That's recorded for us in the book of Acts. Various places, various people, various cultural settings, and even though it may look a little different in the way he presents it or the way he connects with the people, the context, all of them, though, has the same content. Every gospel presentation is going to have the same type of content. He's going to say something about God has fulfilled his plan. He's going to give people a brief overview of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. He's going to confirm how the Old Testament points to Jesus. And then he's going to finally, at some point, call people to repent. To basically say, I'm sorry, I am sinful. I've rebelled against God, and trust in Jesus. That's it. You're going to find that content in some form or fashion in all of Peter's gospel presentations. That's what we have to offer the world. That's the key to our mission. That's what we've got. That's what we can communicate. And that's what changes people, is that message. And usually when we study passages like this, where you hear pastors talk about stuff like this, here's the overwhelming response. I've been a pastor a while now. This is the overwhelming response. Guilt. Shame. We Christians feel sad or disappointed or ashamed or guilty because we're not good at sharing our faith. We don't do it. We're scared to do it. We're going to fail. We struggle for all sorts of reasons. And I get it. I get it. I really do. My dad just turned 72. I told the first group, I always forget. For the longest time, my dad was the same age. For the longest time, my dad was 63. For decades. And he was like, Brian, you really got to get this. You got to get on top of this. And then lately, I've been adding a year. Like I say, he's 74. And he's like, Brian, 72. Like, so, I don't know why. It's just funny. This is the whole thing we got going on. But he just turned 72. And in his 50s, he became a Christian. He became a Christian after I did. I remember it. And it's fun to hear him talk about his conversion experience, like how he came to faith in Jesus. Because at some point, he'll talk about, yeah, I went to church this Sunday, and he'll talk about getting baptized and those kind of things, which is great. But if you really get him going, and I'm like, no, Dad, tell me, man, like, when you think the moment, like, when you got it, when you experienced God's grace, and you knew you didn't deserve it, but Jesus came and saved you, right? When did you get? And he'll tell you. He's like, oh, he knows exactly when. He can take you to the place. He was on a tractor baling hay. True story. I grew up on a little farm. He was baling hay, riding his John Deere, and in that moment, by himself, there's no televangelist, there's no person handing him a tract, there's no bridge diagram, there's no four spiritual laws, there's nothing. It's just him. At some point, my dad had heard the gospel numerous times. He had two sisters, two of my aunts, Aunt Becky, Aunt Ruth, who had shared the gospel with him. He knew he was a sinner in need of God's grace. He knew Jesus came to save him, right? But it was in that moment on the tractor when the gospel lights came on, and he knew it. And he put his trust and faith in Jesus and was converted. I tell you that story because I think it highlights something we forget as Christians, or Christians forget. We forget this often when we think of God's mission. The Holy Spirit. We think our weakness, our fear, our sin, we think we won't know the answer if I get into a conversation with somebody about Christianity, or we think we will fail, right? But my dad's story in this passage reminds us, man, the gospel is the key to God's mission, but the Holy Spirit unlocks the heart. And so I hope that's an encouragement to you, because it really does take off the pressure. Like, you can't change anybody's heart. Right? I mean, all you're called to do is love them and share and talk and have a conversation. Like, you can't change people's heart. Like, there is zero pressure on you, Christian Church, Cross Creek. Like, zero pressure. True story. It's biblical. I didn't make it up. All the pressure is on the Holy Spirit, and he has got a great record. He's better than Alabama football. I'm from Alabama. I had to. Like, the Holy Spirit's undefeated. Like, there's no pressure on you. You have a privilege to participate in God's mission. And what I love about this story is while Peter was still speaking to these people in verse 43, right? He's still going. And then verse 44, we're told, I don't know if you got it up there, I'll just read it to you. While Peter, think about Peter. He's like Keith. He's been thinking all week. He's got this awesome sermon illustration. He's bringing it. And he's about to wow you with his sermon illustration. Think of that. Like, Peter's got this awesome, he's probably got this awesome sermon illustration. Verse 44. While Peter was still saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell on all who heard the word. People just started getting converted left and right. Peter's like, well, where'd the Holy Spirit come from? I didn't even get to use my illustration yet. You know, like, the Holy Spirit just showed up, just started saving people. Peter wasn't even finished with his sermon. Like, he's still saying stuff. He's like any pastor, just going too long. Probably. Like, I love that. I hope this is an encouragement to you. There is no barrier inside of you. There is no barrier outside of you that is too big for the Holy Spirit. Right? Because Jesus is Lord of all. His gospel is for all. There is no distinction. There is someone, a neighbor, a friend, a family member that you are around, that need, that are longing for, and they don't even know it, longing for the truth and the hope and the grace of Jesus. And maybe, just maybe, God's mission has brought them to you, has brought you to them, just like the story of Peter and Cornelius, has brought you guys together, right? Jesus is a great Savior, right? And we have a great message for the world, a message of hope and grace and love. Let that be an encouragement to you. Let that strengthen you. Let that compel you. Let's pray. Jesus, you are good, and your message is great, and the Holy Spirit works. I pray we would participate in your mission to rescue and to restore. Help us overcome fear and doubt. Compel us by love. I pray that we would get excited and encouraged to reach our neighbor, our communities, this world, because that's what you are excited about. I pray we see Jesus, the one who came to save the lost. I pray in his name. Amen.